different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can, far above the world. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do.
This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
Okay, just one more from David Bowie. It's called Jenny. And we must mention one more time Junior's Eyes for a super session. Take it, David.
Hello. Janine, I'm helpless for your smile. Like a foolish wanderer, I travel ever onwards to your land. And were it not just for the jewels I close your hand. Your strange demand, in color came my mind. Scares me into gloom, you're too intense, I keep my veil. My face. I've no defense. I've
This afternoon's program, we have David Bowie, who's famed in hit parade circles for one of last year's best records, Space Oddity. And he'll be joined a little later on in the program by a horde of musicians. We'll tell you about that when it comes. First thing that he's going to sing just by himself with his own guitar is a Jack Brel composition. This is David Bowie and Port of Amsterdam.
WMFO Medford. Good afternoon. That was Three Dog Night. It's actually warmed up out there. So that's, you know, we'll take that because we're in for some very, very cold stuff coming toward the end of the week. Right now, you just have to be careful. There might be some snow squalls and, you know, it could actually be, you know, up to 1 inch or something, all of a sudden a burst, or 1 to 2 inches. So depending upon where you're driving, be careful. Okay, so racing out the door. We had a half day today at where I work, so I got to go home and take a rest. And of course, then it's hard getting back over here. So I just want to share a little bit about the all the primary stuff. This is an article off of Tablet Magazine. Bernie Sanders becomes the first Jew to win a presidential primary. Bernie Sanders made history with a huge win over Hillary Clinton in the New Hampshire primary. How have other Jewish politicians stacked up in their bids for the White House? It's an article by Jonathan Zalman. And it was from this morning. In the 2000 presidential election, Al Gore selected Joe Lieberman, then a Democratic senator from Connecticut, to be his vice presidential running mate. They lost to George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, and we know how that went. 4 years later, Lieberman, an Orthodox Jew, took a stab at the White House himself as a Democratic presidential candidate. Gore didn't back him. He supported Howard Dean instead. Lieberman, touting Jomentum before the New Hampshire primary, placed fifth there. And soon he dropped out of the race altogether, having won not one single primary. He placed third in his home state of Connecticut, behind John Edwards and John Kerry, the eventual Democratic presidential nominee. It seems like ancient history, actually. It's amazing. Enter Bernie Sanders, who made history on Tuesday night, last night, by becoming the first Jewish presidential candidate from a major party to win a primary election. As expected, the senator from Vermont triumphed over Hillary Clinton in the New Hampshire primary, gathering 60% of the vote. It's really quite astounding. Two other men of Jewish descent have made runs for the White House, both as Republicans. Arlen Specter ran in 1996, but withdrew before primaries began. And Barry Goldwater, who was baptized and raised Episcopalian, but had a Jewish father, received his party's presidential nomination, but lost to Lyndon B. Johnson in 1964. Jill Stein, who is Jewish, received the Green Party presidential nomination in 2012 and is the party's candidate for 2016. Oh, and if former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg ever decides to shift his mindset from considering to putting his money where his mouth is, then, alas, Bernie Sanders would have some Jewish company. Kind of a funny little note. I did watch some of the returns, and it was pretty fascinating, actually. I don't know where you are on the political spectrum, but I've had a hard time deciding on anybody that I really feel like I want to back for a variety of reasons. Domestically, I tend to lean more the Democratic way, but in terms of protecting Israel, I don't see it coming from the Democrats, which is very frustrating to me. So, you know, we'll see how it all folds out. To bring some new material with me, if I can figure out where I put it. I might have to wait till I can. I know I stuff some things in. Oh, here's one. Let's grab this one. This is, I think I might have played this a little bit already, but I know I haven't played all the cuts off of this. Let's see if the decks are going to be nice to me today. Sometimes they're not. Nope. Okay, that's working. Okay, let's do this one.
Baba okwo humaniki o. Baba okwo humaniki o. Akile ni fa orumila. Odua buke, odua buke buke okuaro. Baba o ba seye doma, o ba talala ye o. Baba. Oh, baby, you're lying.
mi baba.
Baba me baba fururu ero ereo o cañeñe le ibo elerifa o badi basawo e iborere badi bawo eluaye yawaro Eya waruru baba, baba lese okan.
Baba fururu ero ere o, okanye nye le ibo. Ele rifa o bati basawo, e iborere bati bawo.
Thank you. Alone journey.
We are WMFO Medford, and we're at the Tufts University campus, and you're listening to The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. We're doing all kinds of jazz and a lot of new material. That was the, actually it's not new, but that's the Aardvark Jazz Orchestra, and the song was The Journey. It's featuring Grace Hughes on vocals, and the disc is called Impressions. Before that, we heard the Rhythm Future Quartet. And their CD is called Travels, Journey Travels, what can I tell you? still winter. And yes, it still is winter. And let's see, rhythm. Okay, so this is something I recently received from the folks over at Braithwaite and Katz Communications. it says that the Rhythm Future Quartet brings gypsy jazz into the 21st century with travels, making acoustic string band jazz for a new generation. Now, this is to be released February 26th on Magic Fiddle Music. So it is unreleased. You're hearing it live here. Jason Anik is easily one of the best jazz violinists of his generation. That's a quote from Christian Howe. Rhythm Future Quartet breaks new ground for gypsy jazz. John Gorelick from the Boston Globe. And among the worthiest current day successors to the legacy of the great Django, Will Friedwald of the Wall Street Journal said that. And Tommy Emmanuel says, these young men are incredible. They're going to be performing March 10th at the Regatta Bar in Cambridge. And I believe he's going to be a guest on my show here, the Voicemobile, prior to that performance. I don't know if I have the date with me. I don't think so. Although it might be in my email. I can check and see. So Jason Anik is on violin, Oli Sorkeli on guitar, and is the second guitarist Max O'Rourke and bassist Greg Lungman. So Future Rhythm Quartet is named after the Django Reinhardt composition Rhythm Future. And there's a whole lot more on the liner notes, whatever, but says this is clearly not gypsy jazz for purists. So they're just bringing new material to the forefront, bridging a gap, aiming to draw on listeners that respond to the best of the tradition. Jason Anik is one of the youngest instructors at Boston's Berklee College of Music. He's 30. Wow, young and doing quite well. So we'll hear more about this in the future. So before that, we listened to a song called Afro Blue, Obatalala, and the disc is Canto America. This is featuring Michael Spiro and Wayne Wallace with La Orquestra Sinfonietta. It fuses Afro-Cuban folkloric elements with modern forms and orchestration. Brilliantly realized large ensemble album. Instrumentation, well, strings, viola, cello, double bass, woodwinds, flute, oboe, clarinet, and saxes, bass, trombones, trumpets, French horn, and tubas, a variety of percussion, vocals, and electronics. Rhythmic bass combines folkloric rhythms with the modern grooves of Wayne Wallace's Latin Jazz Quintet, which forms the foundation for the album, which post-bop harmonies, emblematic compositions, and the leader's eclectic experiences create music far removed from the usual Latin jazz formats. So, I loved it anyway. And I think we played something else. Maybe not yet. Now I'm going to get confused as to where I am with all of this. Oh, Up in the Air. I don't think I've played that yet. We're going to hear that in just a minute. But here's an important message for us. Numbers to think about. Uninsured health care costs, of course, with all the politicking. Insurance, health insurance is a big piece of that. Trying to win voters, depending upon where you stand on this issue. In the health care debate, it's often stated that the uninsured drive up health care costs for everyone else because they use medical services without paying for them, ultimately shifting their bills along to those with insurance through higher premiums. While it is true that overwhelming medical expenses are a factor in more than 62% of all personal bankruptcies, that's huge, and that each year there are $57 billion in unpaid medical bills, the fact is that those $57 billion represent just 2.2% of the $2.5 trillion Americans annually spend on health care. So it's a very small percentage, actually, 2.2%. Compare that 2.2% to retail shopping losses, which can run as high as 15%. Interesting. Focusing in on where the expenses really are, just 5% of Americans account for half of all medical costs. The majority of them are older, white, and already covered by a private or public health insurance plan. Many of them suffer from so-called lifestyle diseases such as obesity, diabetes, and heart disease caused by poor eating choices and a lack of physical activity and exercise. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. So, I mean, I can tell you, I'm on the GIC. I work for the Medford school system, and they went to the government insured plan. And as a result, my expenses have doubled and tripled. The copay, the annual copay went up, or the deductible, I want to say, and the copays for my meds went up like a third for some, and the copays for seeing my doctors went up by 50%. It's really obnoxious. So I don't know who is going to do something better or different. Single payer system is what Bernie Sanders wants. The fact is that we're the only country of Western, you know, developed countries that doesn't provide insurance for everybody. And I think it's kind of really obnoxious. But I said, okay, you don't want a single payer system? Give everybody, every American, the same insurance plan that the members of the Congress get. They get a great plan, and we're paying for it. So, you know, something to think about anyway. Okay, we're going to continue on with some more music here. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to tell you or share with you. Well, it'll happen. All right. Thank you. Okay, that's very interesting. Mappa Elliott, sequence 3, still up in the air. Let me share a little bit about this new CD. This is a debut solo album by bassist Mappa Elliott. Downbeat Critics poll rising star bassist, rising star composer. Elliott is a powerful, rhythmically flexible bassist and a prolific and gifted composer. That's a quote by Ian Mann from The Jazz Man. Elliott has a gorgeous, fat sound reminiscent of Charlie Hayden's or Jimmy Blanton's, a sure sense of pitch that allows him to double stop beautifully and lay out the harmonies perfectly, and practiced fingers that always seem to hit notes clean and pure. That's a quote by Steve Ellman from the Arts Fuse. He's celebrating in concert Tuesday, February 16th. That's going to be up in Brooklyn, New York. Hot Cup Records is releasing Still Up in the Air. And he is known as composer, bassist, and bandleader for the widely heralded band Mostly Other People Do the Killing. Wow, what a great title. The ensemble recently won the El Intruso Critics Poll in the Best Band to Hear Live category and released Mouch Chunk, their 8th studio album. In 2014, Moptic, I think I'm saying that right, released Blue, a note-for-note recreation of Miles Davis's masterpiece Kind of Blue. In addition to performing, Elliott runs the Hot Cup Records label and teaches music at St. Mary's High School in Manhasset, New York. He plays a late 19th century bohemian bass and uses a coda bow, carbon filter bow. Interesting. Huh. Well, certainly is a different space for your head to be in. Okay, so who do I have next? Oh, yes. All right, here we go.